All right, well, welcome back, everyone. For this session, what I thought we might do is ask Marion to tell us a bit about the work on the Phoebe Planner, but also more generally, the London Planner as well, and where that work is going. And we might do that, and then we'll take some sort of particular questions on that and any specific discussion on that topic. Then Alan has offered to tell us a bit about some of the work at Ulster, particularly about working with students and some of the issues of how do we actually talk about this with students and where do they fit. So I thought we might do that for a little while and discuss. And then, depending on timing, the next bit is actually, we have a long session, but with a 20-minute break in the middle. So what I think we might do is we'll sort of go for as long as makes sense and then take a break. It might be at 12:55, but it might be, you know, somewhere else around that time. And then after that break, we'll come back and Gronja and Leanne will talk to us about their bits and then some discussion, and then that'll get us to lunch. So that's sort of where we're going. One of the suggestions while I was over coffee from Martin was that we might want to break up into some groups to have a bit more focused discussion on a few particular topics rather than just the completely open discussion we had before. And we thought that three topics that might be of interest to people would be, firstly, to look at particularly Web 2 approaches and those ideas within Lean Design, the people who are interested in that to get together with Martin. That we might also want to have a discussion about barriers. You know, what are the things that are stopping us from moving ahead with this and what might we do? And so people who are particularly interested in barriers could get together and have a bit of a discussion. And then the third one might be the role of students. You know, what is the proper role of students in this field? How would they be a part of this, help us, what is it, and so on. And so that might be another topic that some of you are interested in. That doesn't have to be fixed in stone. I'm open to other suggestions. But what I thought I might sort of just put that out as an idea now. Let's perhaps go with the presentation, see where we get to with the discussion, and then I'm in your hands as to whether we want to then go to small groups or whether we're passionate to keep going in whole group. Yeah. We'll just make it up as we go. So does that seem sort of some reasonable direction? All right, so on that, I might ask Marion to tell us a bit more.
Hi. Originally, I was asked to do something on giving the right advice at the right time, and I think this came out of the fact that when we were developing the planners in London, in the UK, the Phoebe Planner that I was part of the project team for focused a lot more explicitly on the sorts of things, guidance and advice in this sort of space of learning design than a lot of the other projects, and it was one of our kind of areas we really paid attention to. So I'll talk about this a bit, hopefully not take too long, show you some examples from Phoebe. I don't want to go too much onto Phoebe, but it might be useful for some of you just to see something very concrete. It's quite often when you see what people have actually done, it crystallizes your thoughts about what they probably did wrong, or maybe what we did right, and some of the more general issues in this kind of space. I think in the last few days, we've talked about the fact that everybody knows exactly what the advice they most need is, and it's completely individual. It's not like we can find the one answer that everyone needs about the advice they need to help them with learning design. But with developing Phoebe and the work we've done in Design for Learning, there's sort of certain ways that people come looking for advice in this space, and it sort of affects what they're looking for. And I mean, some of the sort of parameters that we've been finding is that, you know, it's very different needs for someone who's a trainee teacher who's just starting out, doesn't know anything about pedagogy, really wants to be told, you know, what to do. But there are experienced practitioners, maybe who've taught for years but never used technology, and they want to know how to use technology. Or people who are experienced practitioners with teaching with technology but want new ideas, and umpteen other kind of, you know, people come to this from lots of different places. The other area, and James alluded to this earlier, is people want advice for their discipline. You know, I'm a historian, I want to know about history. I'm a psychologist, I want to know about psychology. Don't tell me all this stuff about other fields. And also, I mean, I think we're kind of, there's a tension about how much you might want to customize or focus advice around an institution. But if you are in an institution that has a very particular teaching model or uses a particular VLE and they're never in a million years going to let you use any other technology, and you're a busy tutor and you've got no time, do you want to know about all these tools you can't use anyway? So, I mean, there's other sort of things. And obviously, in the UK, we've come across, you know, the differences between sectors, what advice you need if you're in a school, in an FE college, in a university, and there's, you know, ACL, adult community learning, CPD, professional learning. That affects the sort of advice people might be looking for. in the sort of tools that we've built ourselves and I've been part of, it seems to me that advice sort of comes in different types. And there's kind of guidance that's provided through scaffolding and tools. There's sort of guidance you can browse. There's guidance you find in the model inherent in a tool. And then there's the sort of guidance you get from looking at examples of real designs people have done. And I think I'm going to talk about just some of these very briefly and show you what we've done in Phoebe towards some of these and the London Planner. I just wanted to sort of these other considerations that don't quite fit into those areas, but I think there are ideas around customization, personalization, community, and yes, Web 2, that I think sort of intersect with all of these that I'll try and talk a little bit about. So, in terms of scaffolding learning design, some of you have been here in the last couple of days will have seen examples about how Compendium LD does that. I think the LAMS Activity Planner is something that does that. And the London Planner does aspects of this as well. Just to show you an example, I'm going to go to Phoebe. This is Phoebe. And obviously, it's displaying in very funny manners that involves euros, so not quite sure what that's about. It does say browse Phoebe's teaching and technology guidance normally. What we've tried to do is support people in learning design by, in a way, asking the right sorts of questions that you have to think about. And what I have to do here is log in. So let's just try. Just as a sort of aside, yesterday Stephen Downes was talking about OpenID, and when we originally built Phoebe, we made it so you had to register using OpenID, which, and you can see, you can still register using, it's broken now. But this actually confounded absolutely everyone, so we had to rapidly introduce another system. Right, where's delete? This is what I should have done before. So, just as an example of some of the scaffolding techniques you might use, if I go into a learning design in Phoebe, here's one here. With Phoebe, it's a text-based design, and it has this idea of sort of the areas you need to consider when you think about designing. And as you can see, these are basically boxes that you can fill in. And so we're sort of scaffolding the process of thinking about what you've got to do in a design by having these, you know, these options to fill in. And those can be customized, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but not hopefully go into too much detail. And then in terms of contextual help, what we have is, you can click on any of these areas to find guidance on this topic. So here's guidance on writing learning outcomes. I think the thing to say about this is we were very aware when we started Phoebe, there's loads of good information on the web about teaching and learning online. Yet at the same time, there was so much and it was so diverse, it was very hard to sort of, for somebody who wasn't quite a confident user, to find what they were looking for. So we've tried to kind of strike the middle ground of writing some simplistic introductory materials, but at the same time linking to stuff that's already out there that's good practice. So as you can see, I mean, there's that takes you out to something else. So it's a kind of mixture of building. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. And obviously, one of the tensions about linking out to external sites is keeping them current and making sure that they're maintained. And obviously, that one wasn't. So that's an example of some of the tensions there. That wasn't what I wanted. Sorry. Going on from sort of scaffolding, in Phoebe, we had this very strong model of making advice available for people to browse. So not so much telling people what we thought they should know, but letting them find out what they wanted to find out. And we took this we thought was going to be quite straightforward. That there'd been some really good work done by Gronje in the Dialogue Plus projects. Helen Beathmer done stuff in effective practice. I mean, I'm sorry, this is a very UK-centric perspective, but the AUTC stuff in Australia. And we wanted to develop a kind of guidance system that would give people the basic information they needed to know. When we started to go out to people and talk about what they needed to, or what they, where they thought they needed help, it was surprising how much Gosh, why isn't this coming up? Okay. Well, I was going to show you the Phoebe guidance, which is apparently a blank screen. Let me just try getting to it a different way. Okay, this is... I should be able to adjust this, but that's not working. There we go. So as well as the contextual guidance, we wanted to sort of give some guidance about... So here's the contextual guidance. As you work through a plan, you can find guidance about specific elements, but more generic guidance about learning activities and sequences, what sort of activities you might want to do and how could you use technology to help do them, and what can you do with a particular tool, as well as some information about teaching approaches and techniques. Just to sort of give you a quick aside on the latter, we had a real issue about the vocabularies that e-learning researchers and e-learning people or educational researchers talk about what they do and the language that, that practitioners talk about what they do. And we tried to create something that was meaningful to most of the people we were working with. So we do have a bit about things like constructivism in here, but it's very simplified, and it's trying to focus on these more practical models of learning rather than high-level theory. And also kind of almost techniques for learning rather than theories. And just to go into an example of one of these, say problem-based learning, giving people a very brief overview, key characteristics, variants, and then some sort of guidelines about what you might think about if you were going to use this kind of pedagogy, and an idea about the sorts of sequences of activities you might do. Now, I think we had thought that we could build this into Phoebe and that you might actually have templates that showed certain pedagogies, but we found that was much harder than we thought. I'm sure other people might have better ideas about how to do that, but I think that was a real sort of unexpected sort of... we thought it was going to be easier than it was, and in the end we haven't done that. What we also always planned to do with Phoebe was to link to lots of examples and case studies, and this comes back to this idea of all this stuff that we should all be sharing, and this proved a lot harder than we thought, because there's just somehow at the same time both more and less than you would expect to find on the web. So at the moment it links to a random selection of things that we could see might, if you were coming and you didn't know much about this, you might find useful, that they might give you these ideas. It's much more this idea of sort of inspirational links rather than, well, it's really never runnable designs. And that's kind of the way we've done that. I think the thing to say about this is we're still not totally confident about the volume of information here. For someone who's obviously devoted their life to problem-based learning, this is an incredibly facile overview. But to a new... tutor starting out, an initial teacher training person, some of them got quite overwhelmed. So it's a balance that I'm not sure we've got totally right just for now. Going back to perhaps the sort of most basic level of help in Phoebe in this sort of browsable area, this relates slightly to some of the things that I think Leanne and James were talking about people knowing that they want to do certain things with their learning. And again, what we've had this issue, and I think Gron has referred to this, about these vocabularies and these ontologies. That's a very complicated area, and we still have this problem that people call what they do different things. So we've taken a very simplistic approach in Phoebe, which is pretty much, describe something, put some sort of keywords that you might use, and then sort of relate this to the sorts of tools you could maybe do these things in. So, it is a table. It's not very sophisticated, but... I think most teachers we've shown this to have been able to sort of look at this and relate it to the sorts of things they do. But there's a lot here, again, and, is it too much? And if you do then click on a tool, what it should do is give you some examples of how you could use that tool to do those things. And actually, in Phoebe, it's the tool pages that have the bulk of the information, which is a model, again, that I'm not totally comfortable with, but it's what we came up with for now. And for each tool, what we've tried to do is give a very simple explanation about what they are. And I would say you really do need that. We thought that maybe most trainee teachers would have heard of a blog. Loads of them don't, they've heard of it, but they really don't know what it is. You can't be too basic about what you tell people about these things. Again, linking to other good sources of information, EDUCAUSE. And then these, I guess, are perhaps almost cloudlets, Grainne, very short sentences about, you know, these are the sorts of things you could do with it. And then links to, or maybe these are cloudlets, specific examples. And again, this was coming up against this problem. Where are these examples? There aren't as many out there as you would want. And then, where can I get one? And this is a very sort of generic guide. So it's designed for anyone out there on the web. So it's talking about as much as possible where there's free sources of tools. But I think that's much more powerful if you're somewhere where actually, you know, where can you get it for you? So, I mean, that's an area where you could customize. I think the thing to say about the Phoebe guidance as a whole is we built this in the first instance in a wiki, and it still is a wiki. So we've built this as a Phoebe team, but going forward, I'm not sure that this should be something that we can own and ever maintain. And I mean, being a wiki, there's, you know, we could go for a Wikipedia model. There's lots of options about how this kind of stuff goes forward. But I won't talk too much more about that just for now. We also, for example, just have a Delicious account that links to sort of things we've tagged. And actually, we don't have it in here. Well, we do have it through the Delicious account, the D4L Delicious account you can get to through there. Right. Going back. The other sort of way that people offer guidance in these tools is building smart knowledge into a system and, you know, encapsulating what we actually know about works with good design into a system. And this is something that we didn't do in Phoebe, except for, you could argue, we've slightly done that by structuring the questions in the design, but is very much part of the London Pedagogical Planner, which Diana Lorillard headed up. And it's worth saying that work is being continued in a new project, which is called the LDSE, which is the Learning Design Support Environment, which Diana's heading up and us in the Phoebe team are slightly involved in as well. And I think Diana has a very strong vision that you can model a lot of the things we know about teaching and learning in a system, and by, you know, using this computational power, add so much more value to the process of finding the right design at the right time, linking to the right guidance. I think it's significant that project is called the Learning Design Support Environment. It's back to this theme that we've all been talking about, that there isn't one tool, that it's got to work in an ecology of different tools. So I think that all wants to play in, but I think that project's going to be putting a lot more kind of computational power behind these sorts of things. And just to sort of show you an example of the sorts of thing I'm talking about, I mean, this is a bit of the London Pedagogical Planner. And what it does is, when you talk about teaching methods, you might choose that you want to spend 20 hours doing a lecture, 15 hours of your student time in tutorials, 15 hours of them engaging with study hours, et cetera, as you work through. But what the London Pedagogical Planner does is map this to the sorts of activities your students are actually doing in the time they spend engaging in that sort of learning. So it's actually getting people to unpick their assumptions about, actually, does a tutorial involve more attention, more inquiry, or, you know, study guides, is it about just paying attention or is it about inquiry? What are they actually doing in a conference? Are they mainly discussing or are they mainly actually just, well, paying attention, lurking? What does a TNA, tutor marked assignment, actually get them to do? And so this particular tool has default values programmed in to the sorts of, you know, that a certain sort of activity requires these sorts of cognitive activities. And then you can sort of do things with, and so there's this idea that if you model these kinds of things, you can unpick assumptions. So, yes, here's, you can add your own teaching methods, and you can put your own amounts in against those teaching methods. You can change it, and, yes. So here's some sort of, and as, I think one of Diana's big things is, how can we take what we know from research and actually model this in a system so that teachers don't have to engage with the research. They don't have to know that all this stuff has gone on. It's just presented to them in a very user-friendly way. And, I'll go on from there. But I do think, in all this kind of authored advice that's slightly out of the context, that the thing that really seems to be very, very powerful for learners, users, practitioners, I should say, is looking at other designs. It's that inspiration when you look at another design and you think, yes, that's that. Either yes, that's what I want to do, or something like that, or no. But seeing another design often crystallizes people's opinions about what they do want to do differently. But then that gets us back to this whole representation issue and, you know, what are these right designs? I do think, though, that this is easier in a slightly more controlled environment. When we're sort of saying, right, all design everywhere, it becomes this rapidly insurmountable problem. But if you've got all designs that are all LAMS designs, you know, then at least they work in your system, you can use them. I think from what we know of the people we've worked with in exploring the LPP and Phoebe, back to James's idea of the ultimate psychology course, there's no doubt practitioners respond most strongly to examples that are in their discipline. They are much more powerful than just random, and certainly completely decontextualized examples, I think most practitioners find very hard to work with. And also, I mean, if you're in an institution and you have a certain model that you have to deliver your course accreditation in, if you've got examples of those kinds of things filled out, those are very powerful. People do use those already. But it's not this wider picture of sharing that we kind of so often talk about, but it is happening now and is being used. So with Phoebe, I mean, a lot of people have looked at it and said, actually, this would be great, but I really want to customize it. And, you know, then, how do you customize it? Discipline, institution, sector. It's very easy to overload people with information. I mean, I think with Phoebe, we try to make it as flexible as possible and as generic as possible. But for someone who wants, and this comes back to this idea of I just want just enough right now, do you do that by doing extreme customization? So in Phoebe, if I just go in here to the templates, we've got this idea of templates, which a lot of people have talked about. And if I go in and edit a template, what you can do is you can decide the questions that you ask people. So our institutional form that we have to fill in looks like this. I'm only going to ask those questions. You can change the names that you call things. So if your institution has blocks like the OU or modules like we have in Oxford or courses, you're not going to bamboozle people by asking them about, you know, a unit of learning that they're not familiar with. This seems very trivial, but you'd be amazed how much people get hung up on just what you've called things. And you can basically structure it. I mean, Phoebe is totally flexible in terms of how you structure it. So this is kind of a suggested one, but you can delete, you can add, you can change, you can rename. But almost more importantly, if I go into a component, Phoebe at the moment has the guidance and the structure of the plans completely separate, so that, if this comes up, as I showed you before, all that guidance is in an open wiki that theoretically anyone could edit. And the plans link into that wiki, but you actually can very easily, if this ever comes up, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I need to double click. Not looking very hopeful. For each aspect, you can link to any website at all. So you could build your own website with your own guidance that's exactly what you want. So we've talked to people in a law faculty where they are mandating that they have to do things a certain way. So you could have a very customized version that's just the information you need to do it there, that, you know, just in time, this is the way we're going to do it, this is just what you need to know. But then we get into that whole big brother top down, do we want to do that? I won't say. So that's certainly something that people from maybe the more institutional side have responded to. Stepping back from that, I mean, I've not got much to say about this, but I think there are things that need to be talked about. Personalization, I mean, people just need what they want, but how do you get them what they want, because you don't know what it is? And community, I think these are all parts of the same thing, that people do share a lot, but it's just not using technology. And how can we tap into that kind of thing? And so arguably the answer is Web 2. And these are all things that people have been talking about, and I don't quite know it ties into a lot of what we've all been talking about. You know, should advice be in a wiki? What can we do with tagging? Social networks, what could CloudWorks do for people in terms of discoverability, finding things? The whole vocabulary, you know, a lot of work has gone in the past to try and develop vocabularies for learning design, but should we be looking at folksonomies? How are we going to find these examples? What can we do with RSS? And probably loads of other things that I haven't even listed there. But we still have this tension that there's simultaneously not enough out there, but too much out there. You know, stuff you can't keep up to date, but is it accurate? How much do you want to control it? How much are you confusing people? So I'm just going to stop there. And yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Marion. Perhaps I suggest if you have questions or comments that we want to do now, why don't we do those on this particular work, and then perhaps after that we'll move to Alan and then to see where we go next. So, questions or comments for Marion?
Okay, it's all self-evident.
Okay, hang on.
First of all, I would like to congratulate you for FIV because it was something that helped me when I saw 2 months ago, not two. And it really, I believe that it's something that can help teachers. But my question is, if we have to create a LAMP sequences, if we have to create a digital lesson plan there, in another tool, all this is very time consuming. So it's very important if we can link all of them. And if we can find a connection between, for example, LAMP tools, and when I'm writing objectives, for example, using the LAMP tools of notice board, it's very good if I can have help using your wiki at the real time. And this is an idea that we can improve this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something we all agree should be the case and we all want to do. And it's just a matter of getting the mechanics down. I think explicitly with Phoebe, for us, I think the biggest tension is we've built this very flexible tool, which is partly what makes it very powerful. But because it's so flexible and you can change anything, how do you then tie it into systems that are not as flexible? You know, a field is not always the same thing. So at some point we are going to have to limit that down and decide that certain properties are always the same property. And I think the other question for us is, the obvious standard out there is IMSLD, but there's such a gulf between that and this level of practice where most people are at, and this was alluded to earlier, you know, is that, you know, how do you communicate a meme in IMSLD? You don't. And I mean, Phoebe can be quite sophisticated, but it can be quite simple. And I think we want all these tools to talk, but I'm not sure what we're going to use to do it.
I'm going to wonder if I can ask also Leanne to comment on that, because we've sort of reached the point, I think, with the activity planner where we're saying, great, can we just wire these up and give it a go? So on the basis of, until we do it, we won't quite know which bits need to be locked and which bits do need to be editable.
Yeah.
But I'm stealing Leanne's thunder.
Actually, it's really interesting because I'm sort of undermining what I was going to say later, but the thing that I noticed yesterday when I saw Phoebe...
Yeah.
The first version I ever saw of Phoebe was incredibly comprehensive. In fact, as a professional educator, I was totally overawed by it. It covered almost every contingency that you would ever have to come up in teaching, which was absolutely fantastic. But it petrified me. This new pared-down version, which is quite clear, I can see offers the philosophical and the theoretical framework.